Hey, folks, we're back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. We're going to talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. We're here with the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm talking to Daryl Day of the BayPatriots.com. And I'm telling you, you know what's fun about this show? Did you guys know that?
BayPatriots.org.
Oh, I'm sorry. Take that back. .org. You know what it says in front of me? BayPatriots.org. I gotta go ahead and read. See what happens? Us guys, we start exercising more than our quota for the day of words, and we start getting into trouble. Hey, you can check us out on our website, is faithfreedoms.org, but hey, Daryl Day is working hard with the BayPatriots.org. It's basically grassroots getting together and talking about basically inspiring people to get back to the foundations. Folks, it is a duty of religion, I believe, to make sure that we're doing our civic duty, because those guys in office, those servants, those magistrate servants and trustees of the people are supposed to be ministers of God for our good. Now, you may not think they're not supposed to be ministers of the public mayhem, and they're not supposed to be ministers of mammon to exploit whoever they can as long as they can get away with it. They're supposed to be ministers of God for our good, but guess what? We're going to be accountable for their activities. So, Daryl, thank you for being here. Since I invited you, you're really a great. You're a co-host. Let's admit it. You're doing a beautiful job. Before we went to the break, I made mention of something about the hometown democracy, and you can correct what I was saying real quickly, and then I want to get to the legislative term limits idea.
All right, well, the hometown democracy is simply a move afoot in the state of Florida to where your neighbor can vote on what you do with your property. And you have to understand that there are three tenets to freedom, and that's the right to life, the right to liberty, and to personal property. And they are so entwined as to be held in one. If you lose the one, you lose the all. So you have to be careful. And hometown democracy, what a great name. It makes me want to stand up and wave a flag. But the fact of the matter is, it is a democracy, and democracy is not a good idea.
Well, you know what? I come back to that idea. Something you mentioned about having your neighbor getting involved, it goes back to the common law that essentially nuisance. You don't have somebody from the United Nations getting on SimCity computer simulation and figuring out what your neighborhood's going to look like.
Exactly.
Is what you are doing a nuisance to your neighbor? In fact, if the city contacted my next door neighbor and complained that the grass was too high, well, guess what? His wife, this guy was off. It's a long story. He's in the military. His wife gets off an emergency surgery, and we were gone, so we couldn't mow his lawn. We did it once, but his neighbors weren't even aware of some of the damage that was going on in his life. The city came by, complained about his lawn. Guess what? We didn't. We did. In fact, the city property across the street, the lawn was higher, but some little bureaucrat came by and harassed him. You know what? So the neighbors, we mowed his lawn. But you know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be on love your neighbor as yourself kind of issues. If you're being a nuisance, let two or more witnesses tell you what your problem is.
Well, I had a neighbor that died in our neighborhood and passed away, and there was no one to mow the lawn. The grass is getting higher, and everybody in the neighborhood was complaining about it, so I went over and cut the grass.
That's right.
How hard is that?
Exactly.
That doesn't require a committee to do that.
No.
I've got gas, and I've got a lawnmower, and I can go out there and cut the guy's grass.
Yeah, we'll still let the city bureaucrat retire. We don't mind. Now, okay, so let's get to this. I mentioned this bill that's before the Florida legislature, and I think it's a dangerous innovation. And let's see what it is. It's House Bill. It's not House Bill 21. Congressional term limits. It's a House memorial that really is. It cites the U.S. Constitution, and then it asks the Congress to have a constitutional convention. Well, if you read the Constitution, that's not the way it works. So, it's just written poorly, and I think that's kind of scary. But tell me, you had some really good ideas about this idea of telling somebody they go to Congress, 6 years for the Senate, so they've got some tenure there. You know, they've got some stability. 2 years for the House, they're the guys who come up with the money bills and are closer, have closer association with the people who they are concerned with. Tell us your perspective about why term limits for the Congress or even the state legislature, might not be such a good idea.
Well, I want to preface what I'm about to say to tell you that I think everyone should serve two limits and be gone. So apparently I am for term limits. But it is not without its problems, because you have to bear in mind, when you have a thoroughly ensconced bureaucracy like we do in America today, that you're going to have, let's bring it down to the county level, because I think we can all probably better understand it at the county level. County commissioners. We have county commissioners that serve at the will of the people. They're typically not term limited out. But we also have a county staff. Now, the county staff, they're going to be there through retirement. As each commissioner comes before in his tenure, whether it's a four-year or a two-year program, or until he gets voted out, or if the people like him, you have a bureaucracy that gets more thoroughly infiltrated in the system, to where they get to where they pat the commissioners on the head, knowing they're only going to be there for a couple of years.
And I agree with what you're saying. In fact, that's what's really scary. I've seen that in a couple of instances. We had something across the street. They wanted to build a housing project. And so the Planning Commission comes in. The city tells the Planning Commission essentially what the Planning Commission was going to say yes to. And so I just sat back at as objective observer, and I started asking questions. Well, what is the flow of traffic right now with the other complex that's next door to this property? And there are 12 units per acre there, and you want 16 units per acre here. What's the flow of traffic? What's the increase of cost for police department, fire facilities, and things? I started asking statistical questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened? They had none of the answers.
They don't have a clue.
No, and so that fortunately, the Planning Commission turns to them and says, you brought us out here with all these people and you don't even know that information? You know, and so guess what? It's now a soccer field.
Well, it was never meant to be so. The bureaucracy of the government was never, in our founding fathers' wildest imagination, did they ever think that it would be such a monster, that it would be so huge. The federal government is it has its tentacles everywhere, and everywhere the federal government doesn't happen to have a tentacle, the state government has a tentacle.
And the
so we're dealing with a perverted situation, if you will, because of the size of the bureaucracy of the government as it is. You know, we've got a whole lot more government than A, we can afford, and B, that we need.
That's an interesting point. I will tell you also, one of the things that I've seen with regard to the sovereignty, we talked about that in the first portion there with Donnie Barber, is that you see these statutes, and in the one state that I was dealing with, they had a statute that specifically had not just a remonstrance. It was basically telling the state what the boundaries were going to be with regard to when the federal government tries to encroach, that the state will look to the state law in spite of the federal funding. And it said specifically why, because we're trying to protect the rights of the citizens of the state. But what happens is the bureaucracy that works for the attorney general, you know, because the attorney generals come and go, and of course they're spending all their time campaigning to be governor. I mean, that really what it happens in a lot of places is what happened is the bureaucracy that is on staff is arguing just the opposite of that legislative policy in the courts. They're actually saying, hey, this federal program requires us to trump freedom of religion in our state.
Right.
This, you know what I mean? I mean, that's really happening. So your point was, if somebody's in the legislature, they actually get a little bit of, let's say, power persuasion per se, and they are something that is a competing ambition against a bureaucracy. So you would say that would be a benefit of not having term limits then?
Probably one in a list of one.
Okay.
That, you know, there's not very much. You know, you just touched on something that's really kind of a hot issue. That's religion in this country. First of all, nowhere in the state constitutions does it prohibit that religion. It doesn't have the religion clause, if you will. Well, the founding fathers through the shackles of the Constitution only said to the federal government that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Most states had state religions.
That's right.
It was not unknown whatsoever for a state. Remember, states were sovereign. They are still supposed to be sovereign. As a matter of fact, the word Congress means in Latin an assembly of sovereigns. In other words, when Congress convenes, it's supposed to be the sovereign states coming together to pass laws, whatever they need to do. But getting back to the thing about religion, prior to the laws that we've seen since probably the mid-60s, no one in this country was forced to pray or not to pray. You were not compelled or prohibited by the government from either praying or not praying. You could display religiosity in any way you wanted to. But now I believe, and this is my personal opinion, I believe that the United States, through the federal government, has established secularism as a national religion. Because now you can't pray. You can't have your Bible on your desk.
Well, that's...
You can't have a nativity scene. So now you are, by the effect of saying, now you're prohibiting the exercise of a person's religion, you have, in effect, adopted secularism, which is no religion.
And really, ultimately, the founders understood that part of the duty of government was protect you in religion.
So
that,
exactly.
You know, that religion, and they went back to Virginia, religion, or the duty we owe the Creator in the manner of discharging it, is something that they could not by force compel or to oppress or to burden.
Either to compel or prohibit. When
right.
you begin to, through government or acts, if you compel or prohibit an act of any kind, then you have regulated it. You have established something over it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When it was not so until just recently, in the 1960s until now. My school that my boys went to 2 years ago could not have a nativity scene. They did, however, celebrate Chinese New Year complete with all their religious symbols.
Oh, wow.
So, and the fact of the matter is, it's not about religion per se. If you really,
it's really,
you really want to get down to the core of the issue, it's about Christianity.
Yeah, it's anti-Christ.
It's anti-Christ. It's anti-Christian. Anything else goes. If you worship tree bark, you're okay. But if you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ and the Christian values, you're the one that's under attack.
Well, you're actually looked at as kind of a lunatic. I mean, you really are. And I actually went to a hearing where a lady was being charged. They were trying to put her away permanently, saying she was crazy. And part of her problem was the psychiatrist said that her biblical worldview was not rational. You have got to be kidding. I sat there and listened to it. I'm like, I cannot believe I'm watching what happens here, that there's a psychiatrist, a state psychiatrist, who's the head psychiatrist in this in that region, telling this kind of a quasi-court why somebody need to be put away because their religion perspective was not rational and they're not yielding. So if they're an unyielding religious person, that they're a lunatic.
Yeah, well, my Bible tells me I'm supposed to be different.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I am not of this world. I am supposed to be different. I'm supposed to act different.
Yep.
So, if I'm not the kind of Christian who may highlight things with a black magic marker, I have to believe what Scripture says. And I sanctify myself, i.e., I set myself aside for God to work with and to be able to mold and be able to use, because the only reason I am here is to serve Him.
Okay, folks, I'm going to let you know what you're listening to. Yes, this is extreme. I'm a Christian extremist. And what I think is Christian extremists, they don't kill infidels. They love them. All right? And so Christian extremists love God and love their neighbor as yourself. And that's why we're doing this Liberty Works Radio Network. That's why they've invited me here. And I have this, what I call the Faith and Freedom Show. I say our freedom is going to come in proportion to our faith. We've got to be courageous to get back to reference that's sound, that's fundamental. Yes, fundamentalist? Yeah, maybe. I say, well, if the Constitution's there and it's functional, it was thought of by people who were very sharp. They knew what they were doing, and they understood that men were depraved. They weren't evolving to a higher plane. It wasn't like that our society was going to evolve to this new world order utopia. They knew that the bigger the government got, the worse it would be oppressing to you and intrude upon your religion particularly, and then ultimately upon your life, liberty, and property. Okay, we've been listening to Daryl Day. We're going to take a break here for the baypatriots.org. We come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872. Check out more of these issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis. The basis is right versus wrong. I dare you. We'll be back.